Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Life lock, baby. A recent study shows global malware rose for a third straight year, reaching 200. This can't be right. 206 million attacks in 2018, up 11%. They're going to keep growing, baby, because that's what they do. They sit and they hack and they steal. They do it all from their mama's living room. So hackers are also shifting their approach to hiding ransomware and attached PDF files and documents. Let's not let this happen, people. In today's world, your personal info is everywhere. There's so many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security, help protect you against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. There's a problem? Their agents will work to fix it, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, board-certified sleep specialist, Dr. Michael Bruce. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, he's not a social media aggregator. He's a social media aggravator. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church better get on Monday. Get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. We have a very helpful show scheduled for you today, so please share this and listen. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Come here, you little homo.
Dr. Michael Bruce is here. He's a sleep specialist. I'm very interested in sleep hygiene, and I feel like... good to meet you, by the way. We brought him in at the top. He showed up early, and I'm so into this because I feel like, in a way, the study of sleep is kind of like the study of the brain, which is, it's almost brand new in our world. It's such an important part and controls everything, affects everything and everything, but we never really studied the brain. I mean, you know, a little bit, but I mean, not concussions, right. Protocol and all that stuff. And sleep we're just kind of getting to now. And I feel like it affects everyone on such a level that it's insane how much time the average American puts into looking at vacation spots on their computer versus thinking about their sleep hygiene.
And kind of like when Vinny comes here and extols the virtues of fat, you know, how fat's good for the diet and all that stuff, like how it previously was frowned upon. There's like a stigma around sleep. Like if you nap, you're weak, or if you, you know, if you sleep in or whatever.
Sleep is look, you know, when, you know, when Trump's like, sleepy Joe Biden, like, oh, is he complimenting the man?
Right.
Like, no, it's sleep fat and work are like the things that have the negative connotation. Yeah. And we go, I'm not that guy. So anyway, good to meet you, doctor.
Great to meet you as well.
You've done a TED Talk.
I have.
That people can watch on the hormonal scheduling as far as it pertains to sleep. It's near and dear because I've always had issues with sleep and I've never really known how to remedy them, or it was never something that was ever discussed. So, and we also took a sleep test. Everyone here took a sleep test on your website.
That involved not sleeping.
Involved not sleeping. And so let's get into it. Let's just start big and we'll get more granular as we go.
Like
what are a couple of big mistakes that people make about sleep or misconceptions?
Sure. So the number one misconception that I find is the 8 hour myth.
Mm-hmm.
8 hours is not what everybody needs. Let's just be super duper clear about that. It's individual. Mm. So I'll tell you my sleep schedule, and I'm the sleep doctor, right? So mm-hmm. I go to bed at midnight. I wake up at 6:17 every single day.
Mm.
Without an alarm, my body just naturally wakes me up. So I get roughly 6 hours and 15 or so minutes of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how my sleep cycles work, and that's how my body works. There are some people that need 7, some people that need 8, some people that need 9. There's different ways that you can figure that out, and I teach people how to do that.
So if you can dial in your number.
Yep.
I remember talking about this with Jimmy Kimmel many years ago because.
So he's interesting because he has narcolepsy.
Yeah. No shit. Stay in a hotel room with that guy. Oh, my God.
He has sex with dead bodies?
Yes.
That's different.
So I'm saying. And you share a hotel room.
Imagine
it's,
that
it's
happened.
Off-putting. I cry. No, he snores and he falls asleep
like
too.
That? I'm sure he falls asleep fast.
Oh, it's funny. It's a good use this at your next TED Talk. I'll let you have this one. But we're driving. We're flying to New York to do Hugh Hefner's Comedy Central roast, like 9 days after 9/11, and we're like driving to the airport, LAX together, and. People were like, where are you going? What are you doing? We're going to New York. You're going to New York. New York's still on fire. There's still smoke coming from the debris pile and everything else. And then, so Jimmy and I are flying first class, and we're up at the front of the plane, and we're driving there, and Jimmy's like, my head's going to be on a swivel, man. If I see anybody coming down that aisle that looks anything like a terrorist, I'm tackling them to the ground. And I was like, you do it, brother, because you're sitting on the aisle, you know. And it's like everyone's on high alert, you know, freaked out, and we're flying to New York, you know. So he's giving this whole speech about eyes open, head on a swivel, and everything like that. And then we got in the plane, and we're like taxiing. We're taxiing. We just pushed off the gate. We're taxiing. He was
out.
Knocked out.
Right.
He was sleeping.
Done.
Sleeping the whole
game
time.
Over for Jimmy.
Or maybe that's what he wanted the terrorist to
right.
think.
Yeah. Setting the trap.
He could be setting the trap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So he just.
He's a sneaky guy.
He just passed out. I cannot sleep anywhere. Airplanes, in front of TV sets, anywhere. I don't pass out anywhere ever. So I wish I had some of that.
I can fix that for sure.
You can.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there's lots of people who have difficulty sleeping, but different environments. But getting back to your original question, which was what are some of the biggest misconceptions?
Sorry. Yes.
Obviously, 8 hours is a big one for sure. That's something that we see a lot of people thinking through. A lot of people also think that caffeine can replace sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get bad night of sleep at night, and then they start loading up on caffeine throughout the day and ends up, of course, causing this vicious cycle that doesn't allow us to be able to get good quality sleep and kind of throws things off quite a bit.
And now for most people, I'm definitely one of them, now you're just sleepy and jittery. You don't feel
right.
alert. You don't feel better.
Right.
I'm just exhausted and anxious.
Right. So then you take a shot. Right, of alcohol, and that supposedly is going to slow you down. But right, we know there's a really big difference between going to sleep and passing out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two very different things. But alcohol is the number one sleep aid in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So more people are using alcohol to help them sleep. But what they don't understand is while it makes them feel sleepy in the beginning of the night, it actually wakes you up in the middle of the night because you don't get into deep sleep. And half the reason you have a hangover is you don't get stage 3-4 sleep. The other half is due to dehydration.
So alcohol at night, bad. Caffeine in the morning, bad?
So
or where are we at?
So here's what I'll tell you is I don't think anything's bad, right? So I don't have a problem. If you want to have a couple of scotches after dinner, if you want to have a couple glasses of wine, whatever your thing is, it takes the average human body takes 1 hour to digest one alcoholic beverage. So if you finish drinking by, let's say, 9 and you're going to bed at 11 and you had 2 drinks, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware of how alcohol has that effect and give yourself a little bit of runway before you go to bed. And that will allow the alcohol to come out of your system. You still enjoy your meal and you still get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, the Kimmel thing I remembered I was referring to is we used to work morning radio. He'd be there at like 4:30 in the morning. And
that's brutal.
3:45. Right. We'd get there crazy hours. And he was telling me once that he had his napping thing down where it's like he had a number for napping. It's not good just to go an hour or 90 minutes. You'd have to go 20 minutes and,
right,
and wake up and you'll feel better than you would in an hour.
Mm. He's correct.
If you hit your number, your sleep number. They have all the beds, but this is for the your sleep number. What's your sleep number?
Exactly.
For nighttime and for your nap. So for some people, and it's all, I think we've all had this happen where you took that, you only had time for like to shut your eyes for 20 minutes. You had that 20 minute nap. You woke up in 20 minutes and you're like, I feel pretty damn good.
Mm. Right.
And then we've all had the one where you had an hour and a half to nap. Mm. You won an hour and 15 minutes. You wake up and you're
feel like
groggy.
Right.
Right.
Sleep inertia. Is that a real thing?
So like that's exactly what Adam's talking about is sleep inertia. So I'm glad you brought that up. And so
you're welcome.
What we find is if you sleep less than 25 minutes, which was actually the correct number, you go into stage 3-4 sleep, which is deep sleep. And so your brain doesn't want to get out of that. And that's where the sleep inertia comes in. If you go longer than that, you have to go over 90 minutes because the average sleep cycle is about one 90-minute stint. Mm-hmm. So you either want 25 minutes or 90 minutes. But I'm going to give everybody out who's listening a hack to add to their nap. I call it the Napa Latte.
Mm.
Okay? So here's what you do is before you do this nap, you take a cup, 6-ounce cup of drip black coffee. You don't want sugar. You don't want cream. Throw a couple ice cubes in it to cool it down. Slug it. Then take your nap. What happens is you get enough stage one, stage two sleep to kind of break through that sleepiness. The caffeine is waiting in the wings, kicks in. You're good for 4 hours, guaranteed.
Mm. Wow. All right. So let's break that down. And I'll tell you, like, I'll give you an example. If I'm doing comedy, I'm on the road, I'm flying out of LAX at 7:05. We're going to Boston doing a show that night.
Yep.
I get up at 5. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to bed at midnight. I get up at 5, blah, 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 blah. By the time I get to the hotel, I have like 45, 50 minutes. I could take a nap and then go do the show. So I always go for maximum. Like, what is the I'm exhausted. I'm going to try to get as much as I can get before I got to get up and go to the theater, but get 20, wake up and be better.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you do the
coffee
ahead of
it. I'm sorry, is it 25?
25 is actually kind of right at the right number. So the reason I use 25, it takes people like 5 minutes to fall asleep a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
So if you're getting that full 20 to 25 minutes, but if you add that caffeine in beforehand, dude, you're going to be rocking.
So I also have little things that I travel with sometimes. People use their phones. I worry about my phone sometimes. I have little egg timers. I have little kitchen timers, a little $9 digital, tink, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll just set it for like 25 minutes.
Perfect.
Or 45 minutes. Not good. But I mean, I'll use my little timer and just put it on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shut my phone off because I won't worry about, oh, you're getting a text or it's right. making a noise mm-hmm. or it's right. doing its thing. So I like the little timer. I use an eye shade. I'll use mm-hmm. like
so
earplugs all the time. Like they're little. I now got a mattress cooling pad because I sleep really
you
hot.
Like
I no,
oh.
sorry.
Do you have the?
No.
Do you have
no,
the chili?
I'm just talking about stuff I do. But you're right.
Do you have the chili pad?
I guess so.
It's got the water that runs through it, and it can be hot or cold.
Yeah, my thing is
awesome.
I've always been a big sweater. I sleep. I wake up all sweated through my things and everything, and now I don't because I'm cooled off instead of sweating through my through my mattress. So this 20-minute, 25-minute with the black coffee, not hot, so you can slug it down.
Yep.
No cream, no sugar, no anything, just the coffee, like 8 ounces.
Yeah, 6 to 8. It's perfect.
And that basically will take your body 20, 25 minutes to process as far as the caffeine goes?
Exactly. So it actually, the timing works really well. So you get about 25 minutes of sleep, and then that's right about the time that the caffeine is starting to kick. And when you wake up, you're just off and rolling.
I love this part of life. First off,
hack.
I'm angry at my parents. I wish someone would have told me anything at any point, at any time.
Yeah.
Like, this is all great, right? Like, I do so much on the road to land. I'm in my room. I got an hour in my room. Right. I'm going to take a nap, take a shower, get ready. But there's no science or rhyme or reason. Right. It's always, I'll sleep as long as I can possibly sleep, and then I'll get up. And you're right. Sometimes you're groggy and you're disoriented. And you always chalk it up to, well, I went to bed at midnight in L.A. I got up at 5. I drove to LAX. This is why I'm groggy. It's not, you're not thinking about the rhythm of it.
Exactly. And what's also interesting is right now we've been talking a lot about the minutes of sleep. How many minutes do you get? But it's also a quality game, right, as well. So we have to do things in order to allow for us to have good quality sleep as well as good quantity sleep, or knowing and understanding when that quantity sleep needs to occur.
All right. So, yes, Gina Graham.
Wondering, you know, you mentioned, you touched on hormones and that kind of thing. Cortisol.
It's a biggie.
I've been told before that, because I also did morning radio, and my cortisol was through the roof at 3 a.m. Right. and bottoming through the basement floor at 3 p.m.
Right.
And just kind of getting those hormones back in shape.
So I've been doing, the last year and a half, 2 years, I've really focused a lot on hormones and how do hormones affect our sleep through something called your chronotype. You guys may never have heard of the word chronotype before, but you've probably heard of being called an early bird or a night owl.
Yeah,
sure.
Right. So those are chronotypes. So what I discovered is there aren't three, there's actually four. And so I created this quiz that people could find. And once you do the quiz, you figure out what your chronotype is. And that's when I get you on the hormone side of things. Because once I know what your chronotype is, I know when your hormones will naturally be at certain points in time. So, Adam, with you, if you're in a hotel room and you're in a different time zone and I know what your chronotype is, I can actually tell you what the best time of day is for you to nap. But I can also tell you the best time of day for a whole host of other activities, everything from best time to have sex, eat a cheeseburger, ask your boss for a raise, like literally you name it.
The best three.
What if it's all the same time?
You do not want to do all three at the same time.
The sex one involved me making a decision because I could schedule it better that way.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm so interested in all of this stuff. I want to know about like pills. I want to know about melatonin. I want to know, like, I'll tease this stuff. I'll let it emulsify in your brain. But perfect. I mean, like, you go, what about sleeping pills? Well, like prescription sleeping pills.
Sure.
And then most doctors will go, never, none of the time. You know,
wrong.
And it's like, oh, but give me the best one for when it could work. Because I don't like that world where it's like, best hangover remedy after New Year's, not drinking.
Right.
Okay, thank you very fucking much. I could have talked to a cigar store Indian and got exactly as much information, idiot.
You know the best way not to get pregnant?
No sex.
Thank you.
Okay, and what about venereal diseases?
No sex.
There you go.
What about sunburns?
Sex!
Don't go outside. Oh, yeah, don't have sex. I'm done. My work is done. My thing is, yes, you're traveling, you're screwed up, whatever's going on in your life, you need a pill, you need to go to bed. Like, you know, I've found that, like, Ambien doesn't work well for me. I end up sort of not getting sleepy and kind of waking up in the middle of the night and then getting into arguments, which is, who ate my lemon meringue pie? There was a whole one when I went to bed last night. Okay. If you're going to accuse
Adam, leave the pillow alone.
Hold on. Let me just wipe this meringue off my upper lip. Now, I'm not done with you.
This wet egg and sugar mix.
Who broke into his house and stole my pie? Like, you do the weird phantom eating in the middle of the night. You wake up. Like, it's not a good fit for me, but there are other medications that tend to work. And I guess you'll know when you take them, or is there a way to predetermine that?
So first of all, this is an excellent question, and it's a question that very few people ask, but more people should be asking, right? So when we look at the sleep medications that are out there, first, let me be very clear. I don't prescribe any medications. I'm a PhD, not an MD, so I have no dog in this fight. There are some sleep medications out there that work, and they work really, really well. That's why it's a $13 billion a year industry, right? That's why Ambien is one of the most prescribed drugs in the universe. However, here's the issue is Ambien's good in the short term, and it's a very clean drug, generally speaking. If you take alcohol with it, you have a massive problem on your hands. That's when a lot of those weird behaviors have a tendency to come out.
Oh, well, that could be something.
That could be talking about the meringue pie.
How do you wash it down? It's not a chewable.
I understand. You need a melt-away is what you
sublingual.
Need, brother, right? You need a melt-away.
I guess.
So,
I don't know how else to swallow. I mean, what are you going to do? You got to wash. You got to get it down there.
So Here's the deal is Ambien can be, or any sleep medication, let's not just pick on Ambien, right? Any of these sleep medications can be appropriate if you use them the way your doctor prescribes them to you. Let's be very straightforward. There are very few people in the universe who've got to have a pill every night to sleep.
Right.
If you're a paranoid schizophrenic and you don't want to take your meds, yes, you need a pill to sleep. If you've got just recently diagnosed with cancer, yes, you're going to need a pill to sleep.
My doctor prescribed me Ambien. I used to get infusions of steroids, pretty heavy Decadron and pretty heavy duty steroids, and then I get me 8 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, 9 in the morning. And still at the nighttime, it's still coursing through me.
Absolutely.
It's collecting in my large muscles and my thighs. And it's like twitching. Right.
You're ripping your shirt off.
Honestly, I was like twitching.
It's kind of Lou Ferrigno on us, right?
Exactly.
Showing the Hulky.
Only no muscles. And they prescribed me Ambien. And it totally, half an Ambien would work for the night.
Right. But to be clear, most people don't require a prescription sleep aid. So the question then becomes, well, what can I do if it's a rough night, if I'm in a hotel, whatever, you know, what's available out there to me that could be beneficial? So you mentioned melatonin. So let's talk a little bit about melatonin. So for everybody out there, melatonin is a hormone. It's not a root. It's not an herb. It's a hormone. You wouldn't go down to your local health food store and say, hey, I want some testosterone, right? You might get it, right?
Right.
So it's not really well classified. And so a lot of people are using it inappropriately. So first of all, anybody under the age of 18 should not be taking melatonin. There's one caveat, which are children who are on the autism spectrum. We find that in those kids, it actually works phenomenally well, but at higher dosages. Mm-hmm. The appropriate dose is between 0.5 and 1.5 milligrams. 95% of melatonin is sold in 3s, 5s, and 10s. Mm-hmm. So it's overdosed in the marketplace, which is a huge problem because when people start popping these things, they think, oh, it's going to make me sleep. Here's the kicker. Melatonin is not a sleep initiator. It's a sleep regulator. What melatonin does is it tells your brain it's time for bed. It doesn't actually make you feel sleepy. So it's great for jet lag. So when you fly from LAX to New York and you're doing a show and it's a 3-hour time difference, melatonin might be an appropriate thing for you to take. But generally speaking, most people don't need melatonin. They need a sleep initiator. And that's going to be, if you're looking at an over-the-counter, you're looking at something like Benadryl. And if you don't want an OTC, but you want something more natural, you're looking at things like valerian, magnolia bark, hops, things like that.
All interesting. And again, stuff we should know because it's such a big part of our lives, yet we don't. Like it's interesting to me that most people have no idea where the spare in their car is or how to use it, yet that's the easiest way for you to get killed by the side of the freeway just standing out there.
Exactly.
And it's a real basic, simple thing that we just don't have a relationship with. I don't know why our wiring is way more about what's going on with this Weinstein trial and a little less of what's going on in the trunk of our car or in our bed. But for some reason, we have this horrible wiring where we just ignore it's information that's very accessible. It's straightforward. It would have amazing positive effect in your life. And yet it's all we all want to know about these kids faking their way into USC and not about how to sleep or what melatonin really does. And the reality is melatonin, and there's a lot of misinformation.
A lot.
Dr. Drew will sit here and he'll go,
oh, yeah, I know Drew.
Just take a little bit of melatonin, but you want to take a little more, you'll sleep a little more. I would take more because a little didn't do anything.
No.
And now I know that you either take it when you're traveling, or if you take it in small doses.
Right. Less is better.
Because the larger dose has a negative effect, or what does it do?
So, crazy ass dreams.
Exactly. So,
is that what it does?
Yeah. So the biggest side effect from an overdosage in melatonin is super lucid, very graphic, almost exhausting dreams. What most people don't know is it can also affect blood pressure medication. So you have to be careful on that side as well.
Okay. So the products that you actually described as being good as sleep initiators.
Right.
Name those again.
Sure.
And tell us, like, is there a brand that's better? I think you don't want to go to the Thrifties or the Save-On or the whatever and get the generic.
Sure.
I'm not sure, like, what has, what's in there?
So first of all, there are a lot of different brands on the marketplace. I actually created my own line of supplements, and I'm happy to talk about those. But looking at it from an ingredient profile perspective, the several things that I mentioned were valerian and hops. And so, yes, it's the same hops that you find in beer. But valerian is probably the most well-studied herb out there for sleep. And it actually, when combined with hops, actually can be as effective as some of the benzodiazepines or the sleep medications we were talking about earlier. There's been some research to show that. What I like when I look at these different combinations out there.
Now, are these chewable or do I have to go for the jug? Because so it depends. For that I do that move. I find the jug. I pop the cork. I put my thumb on it.
X's.
Just kind of swig it back.
Well, you got to get them down. How are you going to swallow them?
So no biased here other than talking about my own stuff. But mine's a spray that goes underneath your tongue.
Oh,
and it's liquid. So,
yeah, but the taste. How are you going to get that taste?
with a Glenlivet.
Here was the great question, right? Is how does it mix with toothpaste? How does it mix with toothpaste, right? Because people brush their teeth and then they want to do this. So we actually did a lot of testing. And it's got an orange flavor to it, which actually mixes very well.
I like it. All right. So, let's plug. Give your website.
So it's called Sleep Doctor PM. Not a big stretch on the name because my website is The Sleep Doctor. It's actually a two-part system. So the first part, you have melatonin for the beginning of the night. If you wake up in the middle of the night, I don't want you taking melatonin then because that would extend your sleep and make you feel super groggy and like crap the next day. So you have one formula for the beginning of the night, and if you need it, a second formula for the second part of the night.
Nice.
I brought some samples for you guys to try.
Good. Oh, let's do it right now. The news would be great.
All right. I'm excited to try that. And again, it's misinformation. It's
absolutely.
Like, take more melatonin before you go to bed. It's
don't
a natural
it.
Please
sleep
don't.
Aid.
Please don't.
Then there's the, I was napping as long as I could nap, as long as the schedule would let me nap instead of the 25-minute with a cup of black coffee, which I love ideas like that. So now... okay, so prescription, like heavy duty, you need to knock yourself out,
right?
Kind of, I don't know, long flight or traveling or whatever. You can't get to bed. Are some?
In those situations, Ambien, Lunesta are probably my two favorites, simply because it's the newer technology. They're much cleaner drugs. There is a new drug on the market now called Belsomra. It's excellent. It's better if you've never tried another drug prior to that. And again, just to be clear, most people don't need a drug to help them sleep. And on all kinds of different situations. I actually work with an entertainer who does 300 shows a year, and he has to travel to almost every one of them.
Kevin Hart.
Joe Coy.
Joe Coy.
He's not either one of those people, but you're not too far. Okay.
Has to travel to, Fluffy.
Oh, yeah. Gabriel?
No. Gabriel Glacius. Okay, so.
We're going to keep doing this.
Time differences everywhere. Okay, so Lunesta.
He's an EDM. He's an EDM guy.
Okay. Oh, Adam. Yeah. Adam will know it then.
Yeah. Why is there a market for these guys? Jesus Christ, they don't do anything. All right.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
You don't have to be on top of your game to push fucking play on a computer and then walk around and jump around like an idiot in front of the stage. Jesus goddamn Christ. Next time you see him, explain to him that Paris Hilton can do what he does.
Fair enough.
And no one will know the difference.
I'll bring him in.
Tell him.
To sleep.
I'm sure he'd love to hear it.
Tell him if you took 100 smart people and put them in a room and told them to turn their back to the stage, we wouldn't know if he was doing it or Paris Hilton was doing it. And then tell him, sleep on that shit. Jesus Christ, these guys are fucking horrible.
But he travels 300 days a year, and so the interest is how does he get a good night's sleep?
Right.
Right? That's where I come into play.
CBD.
I'm a big fan. Also, I'm a fan of cannabis as well for sleep, and we can have a good conversation about that also. Because when we start to look at it, the research is actually starting to file in quite nicely. There are certain, you could call it a strain. People have a tendency right now to talk about indica versus sativa and talk about those. The truth of the matter is that if you really look into the cannabis universe, there really aren't very many indicas or sativas anymore. It's all hybrids, right? And so what you really are looking at is terpene profiles, CBD to THC ratios, and how to really create something that could be beneficial as well as natural. And so there's a couple of companies that are doing that. CBD in particular can be really helpful in terms of reducing inflammation and kind of giving you a calmer feel. But here's the holy grail of sleep in cannabis is actually CBN. CBN. So CBN, for lack of a better thought process, it's old weed, right? And so
Hold on. I want to tease this because I have had this where they go, well, you got to smoke a little pot. Got to get the right pot. You smoke the pot. I'm just high,
right.
And I don't go to bed.
Right, that's not the goal.
And I end up eating a bunch of stuff, right. And then eventually I fall asleep. Right. But it's like
from
carbo loading before. Yeah.
Right,
another meringue pie down the drain.
Yeah.
What is it with him and meringue?
I love meringue.
Well, there you go.
The God, I want a lemon meringue pie. So
I like right. banana cream personally.
Oh, God, I
graham
do too.
There's nothing wrong with banana cream pie. With nothing. The vanilla wafer as the
sure,
crust.
Sure, the pie. Oh, yes.
You're gilding the lily.
Sorry.
How dare you?
Again. No, I want to. I'm dying to know about the CBD or the CB. What was the last?
CBN.
I love this. All right, let me hit JB Weld, and then we'll give you all that information. When you have a repair project at home or in your garage, ordinary household glue is just that. It's ordinary. When strength really matters, choose the leader in epoxy adhesives for wood, metal, plastic, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it, and you keep that JB Weld in your toolbox, your kitchen drawer, in your craft room, wherever you like it. JB Weld epoxy products, proudly made in the USA. The brand, both DIYers and pros, trusted for over 50 years. I always use the JB Weld in the garage to metal repair stuff when I was working on cars back in the day. Now they make everything. So, it's the world's strongest bond, JB Weld. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, everywhere. Get it. Get it all. It's great stuff. Put it in the drawer and use it, man. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Dr. Bruce, and we'll get into all the strains of the cannabis and the CB, everything right after this.
Drinks proudly presents Adam's Monthly Nut.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
This month's shipment includes a collection of all 32 Banks Bracket Madness songs, a custom spice blend from Gina Grad herself, a signed copy of one of Adam's favorite movies of all time, Defending Your Life, plus a bottle from Corolla Drinks. Sign up today for $25 and get 1 month, or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, bought some liquid IV. Love it. Use it when I'm hungover. Use it when I'm dehydrated. Use it when I need a boost. Bought it through Amazon. Clicked on through. Except I didn't realize there's different flavors. So I bought the default. Default flavor being passion fruit. Thought you'd enjoy that irony. Great product. Everybody buy it.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
And remind me, you guys remind me to get to stuff like that, like hydration, traveling, supplements, you know, stuff that's maybe a little adjacent to sleep, but everything, ooh, since everything affects you eventually, it all gets, it's like a pyramid that all comes down from the pillow.
Hey, you
the
know
pillow
what,
pyramid.
You know what it's great for? The liquid IV, I've used it several times for the keto flu. When you have the first few days of keto and you're feeling really out of it, that shot of electrolytes, it bounces you right back.
Oh, okay.
Like, I used it several times. Christy and I both did.
So Dr. Bruce. I was thinking of that the whole time. You can check out his TED Talk at TED.com/TEDx.
We have a clip.
Oh, we do.
It resveratrol.
Oh, that's
all I talked about.
That's not the right doctor.
The website, thesleepdoctor.com. All right, so let's get into the CBD and the THC and everything else.
Sure. So when you're looking at cannabis for sleep, you know, one of the things that we don't want is we don't want people basically getting stoned. What we want them doing is having some level of pre-sleep relaxation to help calm them down, to then allow the natural sleep process to sort of take over and bring you through this. So when we're looking, we want to pick a plant that's going to have those types of characteristics. It turns out that there are these things called terpenes. Now, terpenes are actually in all plants, not just cannabis. And these are, for example, with lemons, the terpene is called limonol, and it's a more citrus. I know they didn't go very far on the name. I get it. But it's a citrus smell, but it actually has sedative properties to it. So when people smell this, they find that they become, you know, sleepy. So if you were to create your own cannabis product, you would start to layer in these terpenes. You would have a certain ratio of CBD, which is the anti-inflammatory, to the THC, which is the psychoactive. But like I was saying before, if you really want the holy grail, all you really need is a little bit of CBN. Not very much, by the way, and it's super duper expensive right now because it's hard to get it. It actually is what happens to THC when it oxidizes over time. So old weed turns into CBN. Then there's an extraction process, and then that is what's really great for sleep. And if you couple it with a little CBD, you're doing great.
Where do you get that?
You can actually get
my underwear drawer.
Yeah.
So
the headliner of Willie Nelson's
right.
Tools.
So here's the problem.
You got to get a lock of his hair. Right?
CBN is not readily available in dispensaries as of yet. It should be coming out pretty soon. And to be very honest with you, I'm working on my own line of cannabis products with THC to help people sleep. So it'll be in that for sure.
And TV versus video screens or phone screens before.
Let's just do a whole pre-bed routine. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, what
absolutely.
Should you not do vis-a-vis screens, water, all that stuff?
Fair enough. So I'm the only sleep doctor in the universe that says it's okay to fall asleep with the television on.
Mm.
So let me tell you what it's like in my bedroom. Well, I probably shouldn't do that, but I've got me. My French bulldog is next to me. My Chihuahua is next to him. Then is my wife, and then is a cat. We have a big screen TV. It's on almost all night long.
Right.
I'm the fucking sleep doctor, right? So
right.
This is ridiculous. So why do I allow for that to happen? Well, number one, when I met my wife, she said, well, you know, if we're ever in a bed together, I need to let you know I fall asleep with the television on. And I was like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to be a sleep doctor. I'm going to fix that. Mm-hmm. Anybody out there ever tried to fix something in their soon-to-be spouse? Yeah.
How'd that work out?
It doesn't work, right?
No, it just
doesn't happen. So then I decided.
Women have a great wiring, which is I'll do the opposite of what you're asking.
Exactly.
And I'll teach you to ask.
Well, give it time.
Now right.
They make it our idea. They're really good at that, making it our idea thing. So anyway, what I did was I studied her, and what I realized is she wasn't actually watching TV. She was listening to it. Right. And so most people, if they're falling asleep with the television on, they're actually just listening to it. And all it does is it distracts them. The number one complaint I hear in my office is I can't turn off my brain at night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy way to turn off your brain. However, here's the problem is there's a lot of blue light that's coming from that source. And so that's why I've got blue light blocking glasses.
God bless you. Mm-hmm.
So I actually worked on a line of these. Actually, these aren't the right ones.
I sleep on my stomach, so that's part of my problem.
You wouldn't wear these in order to fall asleep. I mean, I'm sorry, you would wear these while you were watching television. You wouldn't necessarily wear these during sleep, but because they have like an amber lens here. I'll show you what they
are. Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch TV before you go to bed at night, you should wear those.
Absolutely.
Would that work with phone screens too?
Yes, they do. Okay. And so that's the other issue is phones, the proximity is much closer, more blue light. The reason blue light is bad is blue light turns off the melatonin faucet in your brain. Mm-hmm. At night, we want the melatonin faucet on, not off. So we like blue light in the morning. That's very Bono looking of you.
Don't say that. He won't wear them.
Maybe Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello.
Nick Cage.
Well, Elvis Costello has an album. Maybe My Aim Is True. I can't remember. But there's an Elvis Costello album where he's like wearing these glasses.
Exactly.
And sort of looking over them.
Pretty sharp.
Yeah. So where... The glasses, if you're watching TV or operating
Facebooking
a screen.
Or whatever it is you're doing.
God, trust is the
glasses.
These
there
are the
is.
Glasses he's wearing.
There you go.
The real test is that they go over my glasses.
Mm-hmm. So they're not built to go over glasses, but there's some coming out that will. Don't worry.
These are fine.
Yeah,
that was great.
This isn't bad. I'm trying to impress it. Nobody in that bed is impressed by me.
No, you look like who's that preacher who used to be on at like 2 in the morning? Like, he don't know a bass organ from a pipe organ.
Beard. Yeah, it was very
the Joel Olstein.
No. Scary old guys who'd be on in the middle of the night. He'd yell. He had a few. He'd go, he don't know a bass drum from a pipe organ. And I'd be like
Pat Roberts.
17.
No, Shell something.
These guys aren't household names. And they're like, he's a no good low down thimble rigger.
Shell Steen or
a big beard. And like he'd wear one set glasses up and like one set of glasses down. And he'd
be
sitting
right
there
now.
Preaching fire.
Yeah, he had like a white beard. Yeah, and he was very angry.
He's got to be in hell.
Angry man, right?
For sure. Dead, for sure.
For
right?
sure.
Well, God maybe purgatory.
Those look good on you, Gina.
Thank you. They feel good. I just wanted to see what my phone looks like when I'm actually
so it's got a slight amber tint to it, and that blocks out the blue wavelength of light. It's actually not a blue light, it's just a wavelength of light, and that turns off melatonin in your brain.
So TV not
So some of the things you thought
not
were
terrible.
A no-no, but right. this is not a no-no.
Correct.
And it's also realistically people.
Right.
Here's the thing I've noticed with people who watch TV before they go to bed, because my wife does that too. I don't think she intends on falling asleep.
Right, right.
And the reason I know that is because when I come up to the bedroom, her arm is extended right, straight right. out.
Exactly.
She's holding the remote.
Exactly.
Like, which is always, for me, is insane because I right. could never fall asleep. But she thinks she's going to watch TV and then falls asleep. Mm-hmm. So telling someone not to do that wouldn't really work because they don't think they're doing
no.
it
right.
initially. But anyway, so.
TV's okay.
TV's okay.
Facebook is bad.
Facebook is bad.
Well, that's just a good lesson to life.
Well, let's talk about the emotional side of this.
Uh-huh.
So engaging.
Right.
Now, I'm on Twitter. Maybe I'm not even arguing, but I'm engaged. I'm engaged.
Really?
You know what I mean? On with somebody,
right.
with a human being on
so
Twitter.
So that level of engagement is not sleep conducive, right?
Hold on. Dr. Gene Scott. So,
you can find. This. Wow.
That
you got quite
sense.
A crew back there figuring mm-hmm. it out.
Oh, they're good.
They're excellent. So
there he is.
There he is.
Wow. He's
Dr.
Gene
Scott with the two glasses.
And a cigar.
With the two glasses. You guys are great.
Get That's a clip amazing. Of Dr. Gene.
You need a clip of him talking about bass drums and pipe organs.
Was he regional? I don't recognize him.
I remember from the Bay Area.
Wow.
He would be
wow.
on in the middle of the night, and he'd just be preaching and angry and angry.
Gee, it wasn't primetime network. It was more like syndicated public access.
It's not during sweeps. I understand.
No, the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
That's ought to be good.
Well, I haven't told the story in a million years, so I'll be fast, but it has to do with falling asleep with the TV on.
Oh, right. Mm.
Seeing that movie, The Ring. Was it The Ring?
Yeah.
The Circle?
The Ring
the
was
ring?
A movie, yeah.
Scary
yeah,
movie.
The Ring.
Yeah, scary
one,
movie, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, about TV. It comes on the TV. I had the world's worst TV set. It was a 42-inch TV. And I love TV sets. They're like my children. But this is like, this thing, if the power would go out and then come back on, the TV would come on.
Mm.
It had a,
mm-hmm.
it had a mm. default setting
sure.
that if you left for Maui for a week and there's a momentary power outage as right. you were driving to the airport, when you came home 7 days later, your TV would be on.
Right.
right.
It's a horrible design, but there it was. I had it in my step-down living room when I lived up in the Hollywood Hills long before kids and marriage and everything, and it sat up on the wall, and I'd have the sound turned all the way up
oh, no.
because I would go into that room with the high ceiling, and I would skip my rope, mm-hmm. and I would watch
oh,
the TV, and the rope's so loud mm. that you have to have the thing all the way up. And it was up, so when you'd walk into the room, it'd actually be above your head mm-hmm. on the wall. And you'd walk under like a header and walk in and mount it up there. Fine. I saw that movie, The Ring, and that very night, went to bed alone in my old Hollywood house with the staircase. And the staircase would go right down to the beginning of that living room, the opening of the living room. You couldn't see the TV set from the staircase. It was facing out
the
toward the
yeah.
living room. And I just wake up in the middle of the, you know, 4 a.m. It's like, the guy's like yelling. And I'm like, I'm alone in this old house. And I'm like, what's going on out there? Guy's just yelling the
preacher.
Whole time. I don't know who it is. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm freaked out. And so I open my bedroom door and I look down the hall and I see like lights mm. in my living room, like sort of flashing mm-hmm. and the loud noise.
That's
I just got done watching a stupid movie where the TV
so comes
kills
out of the
everybody.
Screen.
And I'm like, what's going on? And it's like creeping down the stairs. Like, and that preacher was on the set. The set was turned all the way up to 80. And of course it was off when I went to bed, but there's a momentary power outage that I didn't know about because
yeah.
I was asleep. And it activated the TV set, and that's
your first heart attack.
It was a freak. It was a freaky thing. If you just saw
yeah,
that movie,
good
and
timing.
Then the TV's on, and also it's 4 a.m. and it's this guy. Like if it was a commercial for a Wonder Mop or something, it wouldn't have affected me
yeah.
that way. If it was anything else, but it was this guy. Do you have that guy? This is earlier.
They're working on it.
Oh, that's young.
Before you needed glasses.
There he is, young without the glasses. Yeah.
$600 miserable. And you sit there glued to your chair. How long must I teach you the principles of spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare?
That's what you woke up to.
Imagine I'm trying to process this in my house.
In your dream state.
Turned all the way up.
Imagine what you were dreaming about when this was going
on. 22,400 pours in. $600 kills us.
Oh. I was angry.
Seems upset.
It has nothing to do with money.
Yeah, he's a doctor, too.
At this point.
So he claims.
Do you study dreams, or is that off? That's not in your.
So I've done some dream work, but I don't do dream interpretation.
No, I mean like what are dreams? Is that us making memories?
So,
is that us?
Yeah. So actually, you're 100% correct. Oh. So during REM sleep is when we move information from our short-term memory to our long-term memory, and so our brain creates an organizational substructure like a filing cabinet.
Wow.
So when a new piece of data comes in, it has to find the right cabinet, the right drawer, and the right file to put that information into. Sometimes our brains aren't as efficient as we'd like to, and the info gets dropped in the wrong file, and that's part of the bizarre nature of our dreams. Mm-hmm. But when that data kind of gets put into the file, it connects electrically, and that electrical connection is a manifestation of a dream in our head. So when you walk downstairs and your second grade teacher is eating spaghetti, you know, with your dog on the floor, several of those things may have triggered different pieces of information that have connected to this other. So you had spaghetti for dinner that night. Your son is in second grade, and it reminds you of your second grade teacher, and your dog jumped on the bed in the middle of the night. Those things will coalesce and create that dream.
Is Inception like a true story? Is that your favorite movie?
So people ask me about this all the time. I was
Where's your totem?
So I worked on a project where we actually could reliably induce a lucid dream.
Damn.
So a lucid dream, for folks out there who don't know this, is a dream where you wake up inside your dream while you're dreaming.
You're like
so
you can control your
but
dream.
But you're okay with it.
You're cool with it. You can fly. You can order up a supermodel. You can do whatever the hell you want, right? So I worked on a project where we had these goggles for people, and we could actually reliably have them go into a lucid state. And then the goal was to see if we could have a communication with that individual. And we actually we had a couple of instances where we had very rudimentary, but we did have communication. We had them where we could get them to blink their eyes a particular way to tell us stop what's going on or change the scenery.
Damn.
And we figured out a way to change the scenery in people's brains during dreams.
Have you guys had dreams where you wake up, where you're aware you're in the dream and can do things within the dream?
Usually,
yeah, it's usually right before you wake up.
That's what I'm saying. Usually it's at the end like, oh shit, this is a dream. This is not happening.
Right.
It's usually something horrible that's happening. Like, I'm falling off a cliff. Well, this is a dream. Get out of here. I'm not falling off a cliff.
Here's the good news is it's actually a skill set you can develop. So you can learn how to become a lucid dreamer. Steve LaBerge has a course that you can take, a weekend course. And by the end of the weekend course, you can reliably lucid dream. It's pretty amazing.
It's great.
I've found like in the past, I think, I don't do it anymore, but like back if you'd have a nightmare or something like that where you'd say before you go to bed, you just kind of go, now look, you're going to be sleeping and you're going to have a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And when you have a nightmare, you're going to be, and if you kind of implant that a little bit and you go to bed, there's a better than not chance you will remember it.
So first of all, it's amazing that you know that because there's actually proven science to show that. It's called intent. So as you intentionally want to dream or what you want to dream about, as you're falling asleep, if you have intent, so you say, I'm going to have a nightmare, but I'm going to be the victor. I'm going to win at this. It actually changes the content of the dream. And it's one of the nightmare therapies that's being used out there as well.
Well, I'm imagining as you talk about controlling this, and we talk about sleep and sleep hygiene and how much healthier and stronger and lucid and happy and satisfied and everything, all the benefits. There's probably a positive dream benefit, too, of
absolutely.
Really working on you staring at Fox or CNN or MSNBC and having your brain polluted with ideas all day long. What is the difference between you then rinsing that or washing that from your brain with a bunch of positive things or constructive things or whatever things for 8 hours that night? Of course, you would have to wake up and be altered in a positive way if that was what you were doing versus 8 hours of negativity.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And there's actually data now to show that if you think about positive things before you fall asleep, your dreams will be more positive. So again, it goes to that idea of intent that you were bringing up, Adam.
So we took a test and we have the results. And I'm curious. So we need to sort of figure out our sleep number. Everyone needs to figure out their sleep number and what works best for them. Now, we know it anecdotally. We know about sometimes the alarm goes off and you get up and you go,
"Huh, right away.
I feel pretty good." Yeah. Like I went to bed at 12:30, it's 5:45 and I'm
here we are.
I feel pretty good. Yeah. Why is that? And then there are other times you wake up, you go to bed at midnight, you wake up at 9:15, and you're like, oh.
Right.
So I guess that's that. Yeah. But if you don't know your number, then it's sort of crapshoot.
And also it depends upon when you get your number, right? So how much and when turns out to be two big factors.
So as it turns out, we have designations for the test that we all took online.
Indeed.
On your website. Me and Kaylin are the only two who got the designation of wolf.
Perfect. That would make sense.
Dawson is a dolphin. And
who's Dawson?
Dawson's right there.
The dolphin-looking guy.
The dolphin-looking guy with the beard.
And
I think all your guys have
everyone
beards.
Else is a bear.
Mm. Yep. So let me break
so
it down.
So that's exactly how as it should be in this microcosm.
Right, exactly. So what we would see is 10% of the population are dolphins. So 1 in 10. So we've got our 1. It's a little – well, it's actually not too surprising in this group that we don't have any lions, right? We don't seem to have a lion, or are you a lion?
Which one is lion?
Lion's the early bird.
We don't have any of those. So that's not particularly surprising.
Especially in entertainment. In entertainment, what I usually find are wolves. So I'm a wolf, and a wolf is a night owl. So wolves are my actors, my musicians, my artists, my most creative people are wolves. They're people who hate mornings. As a matter of fact, most of my wolves tell me the only thing I hate more than mornings are morning people, right? Because they're so freaking chipper all the time and drive them crazy. Mm-hmm. So these are my people who've been told they've been lazy all their lives. They don't like to go to school. Certainly early morning classes is an absolute no-no for them. They also have a tendency to take more risks. And be a little bit more adventurous in life. Whereas my lions are almost the exact opposite. My lions are my early morning, early birds. And these are kind of like the COOs of a company. These guys are great for managing and things like that. But bears are the best. And the reason it's the best to be the bear is because literally society is built on a bear schedule. Mm-hmm. So a bear goes to bed around 10:30, 11, gets up right between 6:30 and 7, and the whole world functions very well on that schedule. Whereas if you're an early bird, you're waking up at 4:30. If you're a night owl, you don't want to get up until 9. Right. And if you're a dolphin, you've got insomnia and you're up and down all night long. And so once I understand what category you're in, I can actually show you naturally when your hormones are going to be at particular times. And that's where the, you know, figure out the best time to have sex, eat a cheeseburger, ask your boss for a raise, not all at the same time, is probably easiest to be done.
Yeah. Initially when we were talking about sleep hygiene, and it made me really think about like our schools and our education system.
Oh, dude, it's so messed up.
We do like a one size fits all.
It's terrible.
My son is a horrible student.
How old is he?
He's 12.
So he's walking into becoming a wolf. Right. Mm-hmm. So all adolescents. So you met my son outside. Mm-hmm. He's a wolf as well. He's 17. What we see with all teenagers is they all want to stay up late and sleep late. Well, guess what? School still starts at, 7:45 in the morning and the bus shows up at 7. And these kids are dragging ass all day long. There's great data to show if all we did was start school an hour later just for our high schoolers, they would go up a full letter grade. Well, full letter grade.
You get a D.
We have.
Right.
I'm kidding. I love Sonny.
No, he's a bright guy. Just it's not his bag. You know what I mean? It wasn't my
bag. It might actually be more his bag if he wasn't sleepy in the morning.
Oh, well, it would definitely help. I mean, I remember having it. I think the most miserable I've ever been or ever consistently. I mean, we talk about this all the time, which is, and I'm sure your high-end clients all agree with this, which is like, no matter how successful, no matter how luxurious or exciting or pampered or whatever, that goddamn alarm going off, don't escape it.
Never.
That's
correct.
I was poor, destitute, working on a construction site, digging ditches for a living, and now I'm rich and even whiter. And
somehow.
I got to go down to goddamn KTLA tomorrow morning, and I got to be there at 8:15, and I'm going from La Cañada, and it's all traffic, and I'm going to end up working a club at Brea that night, and that goddamn alarm's going to go off at 6:30, and I'm going to be ruined. Mm-hmm. And it never changes. It doesn't dissipate. You don't get used to it. No. It just is.
Right.
And I wish, if I had a wish for my kid, they would be one of those go to bed at when the street lights come on and wake up at 5:30 and full of energy, wanting to swim at the Y. Right. I hate those assholes. And I'd also wish that they slept on their back because I'm a belly sleeper.
So am I.
And
it's the worst.
The sleeping on the 6-hour flight is difficult because I'm not a back guy. Yeah.
So I can teach you about that as well, because most of my clients are actually, they fly a ton. So when you look at how to sleep on an airplane as an example, like there's nothing easy about sleeping on an airplane. If you're a stomach sleeper, you're basically screwed unless you've got a lay flat seat. And even then, your back is going to bow a little bit and it's not going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, you can't get over your belly. I don't know who the head on the tray table crew is, but I feel like they're with me. They're belly sleepers who cannot simulate this sleep.
Wouldn't it be great if you could raise that table up just a hair? Because like if I could raise it up by about 9 inches, it would be perfect.
Well, remember,
but you have to basically cross all the way down.
Remember those wedge pillows?
You're getting a stomach cramp by the end of the day.
Remember in the Sky Mall they had those pillows?
Oh,
like
nobody ever used those.
Of course not, but they're supposed to go on your tray table.
Right.
Triangle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A right angle triangle.
The sleeping on the back. I feel like the world's your oyster when you sleep on your back because you just fall asleep in the car, you fall asleep in the plane.
Here's the problem.
Everywhere.
Here's the problem with sleeping on your back is if you snore, you're going to snore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So if you sleep next to somebody and you have any proclivity for snoring, if you're a back sleeper, forget about it. It's all going to flow back there, and that's where you're going to have your biggest issues.
I just have so many questions
here.
Write
them down.
All right,
so we're on the subject, real quick.
I can come back.
Or after Adam's read, what tips for sleeping on the plane? I think we all want to know that.
Sure.
All right. Tease it.
Yeah. All right.
Hold on 1 second.
Tease it. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Got a quickie here. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, we love this stuff. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetics. It is Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine, airplane, sleeping, and or, and I'll tag this one on. I like to be pre-miserable because I'm going out. I'm doing Brea. I'm doing two shows in Brea Friday and Saturday night. And then Sunday, after I get back from Brea at 1:30 or whatever, I'm going to LAX to go to New York the following morning. So I don't know, other than figuring out our rhythm, what would be the best. See, now my thing again would be, I'm going to bed at 1:30. I'm getting up at 7. I'm going to LAX. But should I get up at 6:30 or 7:10?
Okay, so let me tell you. So you sleep in roughly 90-minute cycles, right? And so you want to sleep in 90-minute bouts. So as an example, if you went to bed at, let's just make the math simple, at 1, I'd want you to get up at 7 because it's 6 hours or 4 90-minute cycles. So if you can chunk it into 90-minute cycles, you're gonna wake up feeling better. And then I would have you take a nap on your flight from LAX to New York, which is roughly 4.5 hours. Depending upon what time you got there, I could tell you exactly what point in time during the flight to take the nap. So that way when you got there, because when you get there, do you have to go on stage that night or do you get to go to the hotel and chill and then do your show the next night?
I don't have to perform that night. I got to get up early the next morning and do Howard Stern.
Okay. So what I would do is I would show you exactly where to nap. And then believe it or not, the opposite of melatonin is blue light. And so you could actually use light during the daytime to keep you awake as opposed to stimulants like coffee and what have you, Red Bull, whatever. You want to stay away from those because it's a quick high and then it's a super big crash. That's not what you're interested in. You're interested in a gentle bring you up, keep you up, and then allow you to fall back asleep. So I would have you napping during the flight, going to bed at a regular time, and then wake up the next morning to do Howard Stern, get sunlight. Before you get coffee, get sunlight. Because remember, that turns off the melatonin faucet in your brain and it'll make you much more alert.
And what about coffee?
So the coffee, there's nothing wrong with coffee. But here's the thing. In order to wake up out of a state of unconsciousness, you need two hormones, cortisol, which is what you mentioned earlier, and adrenaline. Both of those are very high when you wake up. If you add coffee on top of that, it's like adding weak tea to cocaine, right? It just doesn't do you a whole lot of good. You just get jittery. But if you wait just 90 minutes after you wake up, so if you wake up at 6:30 and you have your coffee at 8, your cortisol has actually naturally gone down. When you drink the caffeine, it lifts the cortisol up and you get more bang for your buck.
Wow.
So 90 minutes after you wake wake up, drink your first cup of coffee, stop coffee by about 2 p.m. Coffee has a half-life of between 6 and 8 hours. So if you stop at 2, by 10, at least half of it's out of your system, and that'll allow you to fall asleep a little bit easier. Now, also remember, people have different caffeine sensitivities. I got one patient, if she eats a chocolate kiss, she can't go to sleep. I got another patient, he drinks a pot of coffee, he falls right to sleep. So there is some differences there. But remember, if you're having caffeine late in the day, it's a stimulant. I don't care what anybody says. It's going to affect your brain waves, which is going to keep you in a lighter stage of sleep. So Adam, for you, what I would recommend is having coffee right after you get there. Well, depending upon what time your flight is, maybe have a cup of coffee at the end of your flight, then go to New York, go to sleep. When you wake up in the morning, 90 minutes after you wake up, have that first cup of coffee and you should be good to go.
Sorry, the cup of coffee before the flight, after the flight? I'm sorry.
After the nap.
Oh, after the nap.
On the flight.
On
or you
the
could
flight.
Do, or you could do a Napa latte on the flight, and then you'd really be rocking and rolling.
Oh, the 20-minute, yeah, or 25-minute ride. Head
exactly.
On the tray table, ear full of Salisbury steak.
But there will be drinking, awesome. Though. We should point that out. Which that's important.
Notice I have not said he cannot drink.
Okay. Oh, there right. Shall be. No, I'm flying coach, man.
Oh.
So I am on my own.
Do you want some miles? I can give you some miles. Maybe get you bumped up.
He's like your supplier. You want some miles? I get some miles.
Yeah, I could use some miles, man. I never have any miles, but I figured out. I think Lynette uses my miles to upgrade.
Oh, well,
Bruce
that's,
Miles.
It's awesome.
Bruce Miles.
Bruce Miles. There you go.
All right. So, so on sleeping on the plane, I don't know if we really addressed that.
Oh, yeah. So, sleep on the plane.
All right. So, a couple things. First of all, if you're trying to figure out how to sleep on the plane, go to seatguru.com.
Oh, my favorite site.
Punch in your flight. It'll tell you exactly what seat you've got and how likely you are to sleep.
It gives you a map of the plane you're going to be on,
yeah.
And it rates each seat
yeah.
individually.
It gives
this is a good seat.
Yeah.
This is a bad seat.
It's a schematic of the entire fuselage, and it's a red, yellow, green. Which is really helpful. I bring my own sleep kit. So I bring my eye shades, my earplugs, and I have something to listen to on my iPhone in order to help relax me. Because you can't just – sleep's not an on-off switch, right? It's
mm-hmm.
like slowly pulling your foot off the gas and slowly putting your foot on the brake. There's mm-hmm. a process mm-hmm. that has to occur, and that's how sleep works. So you have to give yourself a chance to do that. I use an app on my phone called Calm, which helps me like chill mm-hmm. and relax and things like that. And I recommend that to people all the time. So that's something that people could use. But if you have these three items, eye shades, earplugs, and something to distract you, close your window shade. If you can, if you're over probably 5'10", you're going to want an aisle seat. If you're under 5'10", a window seat is going to be better because you can lean against the side.
Mm-hmm.
And bring a neck pillow. Oh, and here's a hack for the neck pillow. You know those circular pillows that go around your neck? Turn it around so that the thick part is under your chin.
Oh, so you're not
nodding
off.
You stop the bob.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good.
You know that bob that yeah. drives you crazy? You fall asleep.
Yeah.
Right. That'll knock it out right there. That's how you sleep on a plane.
Yeah.
Helpful.
It's all such good stuff. And again, it's like it's the kind of thing, speaking of school, that should be covered.
It's unbelievable.
Well, what we do in our schools is like, I don't know, kids don't know anything about the financial world.
It's crazy.
They don't know how to get a credit card and interest rates and just all
right.
the stuff of life
skills,
isn't
yeah.
covered. I took so many like cooking classes and ceramic classes and like just total utter nonsense.
Do you guys know how to write a check anymore?
I don't know. I just
they don't.
Why would they?
They don't even know what checks are.
I'm constantly worried that it's such a colossal waste of time. Like, I mean, what it is you have a captive audience for 14 years, and this is what they come away with? How to make
right.
Pillsbury popovers?
Right.
Fucking idiots.
It's at least make a lemon meringue.
You have me sitting in your goddamn yeah. class for an hour a day, and you get nothing out of it.
Right.
It's
exactly.
such a weird approach to life. Boy, if you ran a fucking company that way,
you'd be bankrupt.
Out of business immediately.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
And another like, oh, well, we need more money. You need more money. You need a fucking plan. You don't have a plan. What do you mean you need more money? Guys, you've wasted enough. Fuck all these guys. It drives me nuts. And then everyone gets super defensive of the system. Like, these
right.
teachers are doing the work of blah, 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 blah. Let them compete. Get these fucking, get some schools to compete against them. Let them raise the goddamn bar. It drives me nuts. The stuff that they don't cover, it's criminal that they don't cover what they
yeah.
cover. And something like sleep is wildly important to,
yeah.
To society.
Yeah. And
think of all the bad driving that takes place.
Yeah.
So you bring up an important point, right? So when we talk about kids who are sleepy in the morning time driving to school, right? And we know that their chronotype is making them tired early in the morning because they're adolescents. They're inexperienced drivers to begin with.
Right.
Right. We stick them on the road with all the crazy traffic that's going on, like in LA. I mean, my son drives to school every day and, you know, we really make sure that he goes, like, we get him in bed and he's out by 10, you know, and he's up at, you know, almost 7. So, I mean, we really try to work it hard. And by the way, all those parents out there, I let my son sleep in on the weekends. So if you're concerned about your child, an adolescent who wants to sleep in on the weekends, leave them alone, okay? Let them sleep. Their body needs it. By the way, guys, sleep is healing. That's all sleep is. It's healing. Why would you ever want to disrupt healing?
Right? Oh, man. I got to write everything down. I want napping. I want to talk about naps.
Sure, let's
Gina's
talk about naps.
Got a question, too.
Well, fire away, since we're talking about students and kids, I newly have a toddler in the house.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Not hers.
Not mine, but he, you know, he's...
Yeah.
He's,
it was in the apartment when she
That's
in.
Right. Yeah. We got a discount.
Oh, man.
And you know, so I'm kind of being thrown into the deep end just overnight, yep. And I love it, and it's amazing, and but it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So in terms of getting a very, very energetic 3-year-old mm-hmm. to calm down. We have the stars on at night because he doesn't like being in a black room, and I don't blame him.
Sure.
You know, we'll stay with him for a while until he falls asleep. We have a couple of – we do stay awake and feed the birds from Mary Poppins just to kind of calm him down. But
why do you stay awake to calm him down?
Oh, it's a lullaby. It's ironic. But
doesn't make sense.
I know. It's Mary Poppins. She knows what she's doing. So, but I'm noticing a lot of times just our presence in the room, our energy is keeping him from falling asleep. And we have to sneak out as skillfully as possible.
So to be super honest with you, you're messing some stuff up.
Tell me, please.
Right. So number one is you don't have to have the perfect environment for a child to sleep in. As a matter of fact, you should have an imperfect environment. Kids can and will sleep anywhere. And if you've ever picked a 3-year-old up after they've fallen asleep in the car, they're like this, you know, they're drooling, and nothing will wake them up. They have incredible, incredible sleep. When we see a lot of kids who have a lot of energy in the evenings, a lot of times that's because they haven't had an opportunity to expend it during the day. Mm. So sometimes that can have something to do with it. Also, when parents haven't seen their kids, especially dads, and they come in through the door and they're like, there's wrestle time and there's, you know, that's a bad idea before bed,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Before bed.
Right.
Sure.
You know, when you get home, you know, right after work, sure. But after dinner, it really needs to be a very scheduled scenario. So it's dinner, it's, you know, bath time, it's story time, it's bedtime.
That's exactly our routine.
Right. And that's great. And if you've got a kid who can't stay in bed, the best methodology, quite frankly, is bribery. So here's what I did at my house. So my son, as I told you, is a car kid. He was crazy for Hot Wheels. So when he was 3 years old, we went to the store and we said, Cooper, what Hot Wheels do you want? And I said, pick 10 different ones. And he was stoked. He was grabbing them off the wall. Because he has no idea what's about to happen, right? He thinks this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And we put him in a bag and we get home and he comes home and he's about to rip the bag. And I'm like, oh, no, dude, you don't get any of them. Here's the deal. When you go into your room, you stay there until the clock says 6:30. When it does, you can come out and there's a basket by the bed. You get one car.
Ooh.
Mm.
Diabolical.
Right? Your son, it's so funny. The guy who runs Hot Wheels North America walked out of this building 40 minutes before you and your son walked into this building.
Dude, I collect the vintage Hot Wheels. It's nuts.
It's Richard Briseno.
That's Briseno. Okay.
Yeah, he Ricardo. Sorry.
Ricky Ricardo?
He's his name is Ricardo, was it?
Ricardo Briseno.
Briseno.
Oh, I got to meet that guy.
He's the head of North America. And I guess, what's his title?
He's the brand manager for Hot Wheels.
You just missed it.
Dude, you got to hook me up.
Hey, come on out on Saturday, right? We're out at the Hot Wheels headquarters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Leno's going to be there, too.
Wait, at Mattel?
Yeah.
That's in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I live.
Yeah, that's where
I'm at. You're done. It's at my house. Come on over. Have a burger.
I had to chimed in because it's too insane that the whole Hot Wheel crew walked out of here right before you guys walked in.
And we have a star chart. We live and die by, you know, if
so
he
star
gets a
charts
star
are great.
Yeah.
So he already knows how to do that.
Right.
So then what you do is after he's done it for a couple nights, then you say, okay, it's 2 nights now.
Oh, okay.
And then you do that for 3 nights, and then it's 3 nights. And by that time, we got through 10 cars. Cooper was done. You know, and that was that. So it works. Also, if you have small kids, there's a great program out there called Babywise. It's a book. It's non-denominational. It used to be a religious, it had a religious affiliation to it. It no longer does. We used it. It was awesome. It's a eat, sleep, play program, and it's wonderful for kids to get moms.
Alyssa Milano tweeted it was problematic.
Oh, okay. Well,
because doesn't she tweet everything is problematic?
Had a former religious affiliation, and she finds it problematic.
Well,
I just had
to
get that in there.
Understandable.
Jesus Christ. Finding everything. You know what'll keep you up at night? Finding every fucking thing problematic. And, by the way, kids, like, expending energy during the day.
Right.
One more reason the school system sucks.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
my son
strapped
wants to, like,
in.
We want to play football, but they right. won't let us play football. They
right.
sit
it's
around
ridiculous.
All day. They fucking, because it's a bunch of old broads who've decided to graft their entire life onto
right.
young males.
Exactly.
And we've all decided that this is the way. And all the pussies who work there, too, go, oh, yeah, it'd be much better if we all fucking sat around and played soccer or Susie Homemaker or whatever. They want to fucking wrestle. They want to play football. They want to expend energy, and all the yentas who work there are like, no, that's bad. That's aggressive. It's aggressive.
Right.
We don't want any aggression. You don't touch anybody. You don't do anything. That's not what young boys want to do. You guys teach. You haven't figured this out?
Right.
You haven't figured this out. The entire school, LA, all school systems, they're all basically loosely based around getting guys not to do what they want to do. That's the entire curriculum. I don't know what the fucking else curriculum there is. It's just, don't, hey, guys who want to do stuff? No. So do that for 8 hours a day. And by the way, don't be surprised when the guys don't want to show up to the place that doesn't let them do what they want to do all
right.
goddamn day.
Right. And nobody, by the way, really wants a participation trophy.
Ugh.
Nobody.
All right. So naps and exercise. I want to know about naps and exercise.
So napping turns out to be incredibly important. We talked a little bit about the Napa latte. I'm a big fan of naps unless you have insomnia. If you don't sleep well at night, napping during the day just screws you up even more at night. It lowers your sleep drive. So if you do have issues of falling asleep or staying asleep at night, naps are not your friend. But if you're like Adam, you're traveling around, you're moving around a lot, you've got a lot of stuff going on, you don't have the opportunity to get the full amount of sleep that you need, a nap can be a great supplement for your sleep. Keep them to 25 or 90
right.
or above.
Yeah. So if you're going to bed, you go 6 or you go 7.5.
Correct.
And so we're all, everyone's shooting for 8, but it, we should be shooting
for
7.5.
Right.
One more thing that could be discussed at school.
Right.
But, and exercise. Where are we with exercise?
So the single best way to improve the quality of your sleep is with daily exercise. Now, look, you don't have to run a marathon, okay? 20 minutes of cardio 3 times a week, if your doctor says it's cool, you will be able to sleep much, much better.
How close to bedtime?
So that's what's interesting is there seem to be two camps on this. When I was at the University of Georgia getting my PhD, I would run sleep studies at night, and I'm a runner, so I couldn't run until literally midnight. And I would go for a run, take a shower, and then fall immediately asleep. A lot of people can't do that because their core body temperature raised and they've got too much energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're somebody that gets energy from your workout, exercising within 4 hours of bedtime is a bad idea. But if it chills you out, you can do it up to 2 hours.
Diet.
So it turns out that diet has a dramatic, dramatic effect on our sleep. What we eat definitely has an influence on us, specifically in the areas of vitamins. Turns out vitamin B is a major, major contributor to how well we sleep, how long we sleep, and if we sleep at the same time. So eating things that are high in vitamin B, like leafy greens, like spinach and legumes and things like that, can be super duper helpful. Also, a couple of the minerals out there that are important to you that you want to get into your diet. Magnesium mm-hmm. is the best.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody has the amount of magnesium they should because our soil has been over-tilled so much that it's not coming through the ground into the vegetable itself any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have to supplement with magnesium these days. My favorite way to supplement is actually kind of unique. So it turns out bananas are like nature's sleeping pill. There's more magnesium in bananas than just about anything else, but the peel has 3 times the amount of magnesium as the fruit.
3 times,
itself.
Fool!
Wow.
Very good.
3 times.
And so what I have people do is go out and buy an organic banana, wash it off, cut off the tip and the stem, cut it in half, leave the fruit in and the peel on it. Put it into 3 cups of boiling water for 5 minutes. So you're basically boiling an organic banana.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take the water and you drink the water.
Oh, wow.
As my daughter says, Dad, you better like bananas because it's very banana-y. That's her term, not mine. But it works really, really. It's loaded with magnesium. It's a great way to fall asleep. And you can even give that to kids.
Mm. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I had one mom who poured it into popsicle molds and gave it to her kids as a dessert for the kids who didn't
Smart.
Sleep well.
Nice.
Oh, you could try that with your little one.
I'm writing it down. That's good.
And what would you, by the way, is the banana then leached of flavor or leached of whatever?
So
what
some
can
people,
we do with the banana?
Some people will use the banana for banana bread, and some people will eat the peel, believe it or not. That's a little gross for me. It's a little bitter.
And so
Eating and timed eating. I have found, or I started finding, I think keto actually mm-hmm. works pretty well, but I also found keto. That doing away with the big lunch really made a difference in terms of sustained, consistent energy through the day. Now, I would, again, more misnomers. Like, you got to eat lots of little meals, so you got to keep your blood sugar at a blah, 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 blah. People just talk and talk, and it's out of their ass all day long. All these stupid nutritionists. You take a whole bunch of really small meals and eat them throughout the day, and everything else. Or the big deal, you should have a big lunch, but not a small meal. Everyone's got their stupid, like, gypsy fucking retarded ideas that they just, which is fine, just keep them to your fucking self, because you're wrong. They're wrong about everything. So it's like, I would eat a big old lunch because I would like work construction from 7 till noon, and I was like starving. But even when I was doing like TV, it was like lunch, like, oh, we're going to get sushi, whatever. And I would just feel like I'd want to pass out. Like, I'd want to just lay down under my desk.
So carbs in particular cause an increased influx in serotonin, which calms your brain down. So that's why they call them comfort food, right? Is when you eat the potatoes and the pasta and the big, massive lunches, pizza, what have you, it's lots of carbs. Now, carbs are not bad in general. I mean, our body needs carbohydrates. But having a lot of carbohydrates in the middle of the day does nothing but slow you down. Absolutely. So what I have people do is I usually have them eating their carbohydrates in the evenings because it promotes sleep. And I have them having, if they're going to eat lunch, they have something light, like a salad with some protein on it or something like that, again, to keep it going. And you mentioned keto earlier. Keto actually has some interesting effects on sleep. A lot of people, right as they start keto, they have a difficult time sleeping.
Indeed.
Because there's so much protein in them that their body is having to digest all of that. And it can be very alerting having that much protein in you. So that's when I've got, so sometimes with my keto patients, what I'm having them do is the carbohydrates they're allowed to have in the keto universe, I have them have them in the evenings before bed.
Smart.
And that can be very, very helpful for them to fall asleep.
Yeah, I've just found that lunch is something you kind of think you need or deserve or have earned or whatever it is. But since I sort of stopped eating the lunch, I stopped needing to nap at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I didn't have that strong, like it would hit you like a wave.
Yep.
Also, it was very physiological. You know, I realized that people would always try to talk you into some sort of emotional component of needing a nap. Like, well, you're just depressed or you don't want to work or whatever it is. And I was like,
I feel like tiredness is
washed over me. Yep. I need to put my head down.
Absolutely. Now, I will tell you that there are times where when somebody does come to see me that they complain of daytime sleepiness, I do screen them for depression.
Sure.
Right? Because that is a symptom of depression. But generally speaking, there's a really big difference between being depressed and being tired. Like, you know, tired, you know, your head is bobbing, you're falling asleep. Right. Depressed is, you know, there's a whole different story there.
I used to share an office with two guys, Jimmy and Daniel, and they never took naps in their entire life. And I was like, I need a nap. And they'd be like, we're going to work.
Yeah. Oh, you're sleeping here. You napped your week.
I'll dream of a fucking joke. And I just lay down in my dressing room. Well, we're here working. I always hate it. It always drives me nuts because I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to go outside and think of jokes for a minute, and I'd go to my dressing room and like lay down on the sofa. Then Daniel would like discover me. He's sleeping in here. Like, okay, I'm tired. I don't know what to tell you. I'm better when I wake up from a nap. So much better.
So that's actually true. So the data would suggest that from a creativity standpoint, immediately after a nap, depending upon what time of day you took that nap, you actually increased your levels of creativity. I've got some. So what I do with the chronotypes, you know, the bear and the lion and the wolf and the dolphin, I actually go into companies now and we chronotype the company.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure, because then we do meetings. So nobody does a marketing meeting with their creatives any longer at 7 a.m. on Monday because all those people are asleep, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So being able to kind of understand, and in your environment, when you're in an entertainment environment and you're having to be super duper creative, it actually makes a lot of sense. Like, you should be telling the writers, hey, we should all be taking a 25-minute nap. And what's really interesting is if you did a Napa latte at that point, the caffeine really kicks you in. And then all of a sudden you're writing jokes like nobody's business.
Well, it's true with retention. Your attention's completely gone when you have those super early meetings. Like, I have no idea what we talked about.
Right. Well, that's because you're a wolf. If you were a lion, every single one of those things would click for you.
You know what's no one's a lion. I'm not a lion. No one's a lion. I got a lot of tree sloths around here. Is there a category for that?
Nah. Porcupines.
I've had it happen. It's such a weird thing how people don't realize –
that they would, much like the young student, you'd get a much better performing student if you didn't have kids sleepwalking in your whatever.
Yes.
And I've had it happen a million times where I've had, like, you're doing some gig. I was doing Lance Snack Crackers, I remember. And they were like, we're going to North Carolina. And it's like, I got to work. And then I got to get on an airplane. Then I got to get in. And it's like, I check into the hotel. It's like midnight. And then they're like, we want to meet in the lobby at 6:30 and we're going to be in the room, the convention room, and we're going to download all the beats of Lance Snack Crackers. And then we're going to take a 55-minute drive to the venue where you're going to do your thing. And then I would raise my hand and go, we're all going to be in the van for an hour. And like, yeah, why don't we do the download in the van the way? Mm-hmm. We want to get you the information.
Right.
You want to get me the 12 minutes of information before we go on the one-hour van ride, or we could just do it in the van. We're going to meet in the lobby at 6 or 6. I'm going to bed at 1:30.
Right.
And then we're going to talk for 9 hours on my feet, and I'm not going to remember jack shit, and I'm going to be pissed and irritable and agitated, or we can just get in the van. Well, we're paying you a lot of money. Like, it's like, okay, what is that? People are like scared. Like, they're so freaked out. All the show business. Like, we need you here 2 hours early. Like, why? Why? Let me sleep in.
I can solve the problem for you. So in all of my contracts, when I do lecture gigs, is they have to give me nap time.
Oh my God.
They can't have me come on before. So I'm the sleep doctor, for God's sakes. Yeah. I'm working into my contract.
You get to take out the brown naps.
So here's what we'll do, Adam, is you'll become my patient, and then I'll put it in as your rider.
My God. He's going to prescribe
it. A note from the doctor.
You'll get a note from me. You can sleep wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yes.
Dude, how much better could that be?
I love it, man.
I'm going to give one to Carson Daly. I can give one to you, too.
Oh, you're giving Carson Daly a nap?
So I worked with him on the Today Show.
I love Carson.
He's great.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he is a good dude.
I don't think people really realize, like, or maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe people think everyone in show business is a douche. But Carson, who's Jimmy discovered, is the nicest guy
in
the world.
Amazing guy.
Yeah.
Love him. Work with him on the Today Show. He's fantastic.
Super authentic.
Yeah.
He's one of these guys who loves his biological dad and his stepdad.
Yeah, he does.
I don't even like either one of them. I don't like either one.
Right. Me either.
It's fucking sad. That's how good he is. He likes them both.
Can I ask a specific question?
Yes.
I too have a
toddler in the house.
Okay.
This one's mine.
How dare you?
We are doing potty training. It's going very well.
She's
on the
bribery,
toilet.
Bribery.
The specific question I have to you as it pertains to sleep, the one last hurdle we have to get over, she's doing it, she's into it,
nice.
is the overnight, like she still wears the diaper to bed because,
mm-hmm.
She'll be 2.5, a couple months, month past 2.5.
Yep.
So what is the, when we crest that hill, what's the plan for overnight potty training?
So my favorite item for this or product for this is called a bell and pad. They're widely available on Amazon. So it's a little sensor that goes inside the underwear that can sense moisture. And so when the child begins to have to go to the bathroom, there's a vibration or an alarm that wakes them up to tell them to go to the bathroom. We generally use it for kids who are bedwetters.
How does it work?
It's the same way
priest fingers work. It's a little sensor.
I knew you were going there. I knew.
But they're not looking for moisture.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Bell and pad.
So that's one way. But the other thing is to have.
Do you have a bell and pad product line? Can I get that from you?
Okay. I don't do kids very much. I do mostly adults.
Gotcha.
But generally speaking, once you start to institute the idea, the child, does she get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom? Is her diaper wet in the morning when she wakes up? So what I would start doing is you can start waking her up and just bring her to the potty. Very first, pick her up. Pants down, potty, let it happen. Just get her used to the idea, and then she'll get there pretty quickly on her own. Girls are better at it than boys by a long shot.
Sitting around the green room talking to Sarah Silverman at the Comedy Store last Sunday because we're both bedwetters, and I just
still
said, no. Well, now I pay for it.
That's a whole
different
story.
Yeah, it's different. I'm bringing it on. I'm asking for it. I was a bedwetter when I was a kid, and for way longer than you're supposed to be a bedwetter. And so was Sarah. And I said, my old grandpa, when I'd sleep at his house, just wake me up. He'd watch The Tonight Show in his office. I'd go to bed at 10. He'd watch Johnny Carson at 1 a.m. or whatever. Right. He'd just come out. He'd go, he'd wake up. He was an old Jewish guy from Hungary. And he just had a mop bucket. He'd go, pee in the bucket. And I'd just pee in the bucket, like half asleep. And he'd set the bucket right down. And I'd just go to bed. And I wouldn't wet his sofa, which I was sleeping on. And next day, I'd just take the bucket, like chuck it out in the yard or something. I remember it very vividly. It was like a super easy math sort of remedy. Yeah. Just you wake up right about that time, you're going to take that leak. All right. We have a couple, one more question or so. I feel like there's a lot to digest here, and I find myself trying to keep track of all of what you say. Do you have at your website, I feel like the most helpful thing would be like a one sheet, like a sort of basic, here are the herbs, here's what to do,
Absolutely.
Here's what not to do. Well, dive into that in a second. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds on your car insurance, and it just takes about 15 minutes. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance, and take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico, geico.com. All right, so if we go to your website, can we find all this information?
Absolutely. So if you go to thesleepdoctor.com, if you click on how to sleep better, there's a five-step plan. I have courses that people can take, and then I have a blog. And in my blog, I've got, for example, I know you guys were asking about keto and paleo. I've done blogs on intermittent fasting, keto, paleo, how do they affect sleep, how does sugar affect sleep, inflammation. So all of the current health trends are available on my blog when they have to do with sleep, for sure.
How does sleep affect our health?
So sleep affects every organ system and every disease state. Literally everything you do better with a good night's sleep.
So not at all?
So just a little. So
jury's out.
Right. So here's an interesting couple of interesting facts.
What would he say? Really?
Sure.
So I'll prove it to you, right? So last year, the Nobel Prize in Medicine was given to circadian researchers.
Wow.
Okay, so we're not fucking around anymore, right? Like this is where we're in the Nobel Prize.
Your time
level.
Is here.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't sleep on the sleep doctor.
So we're seeing research that is really mind-blowing. We're learning that we can put people in a diabetic state by keeping them awake for 36 hours. Why would we ever want to do something like that? Well, we want to create a model for diabetes to understand what's going on there, because most people with diabetes have sleep apnea, which means they have crappy sleep, which is a perpetuating cycle. If we can fix their sleep, a lot of times we can get their diabetes better.
Well, look, anecdotally, or maybe more than anecdotally, anybody who's just put together two nights, three nights of just rough sleep,
it's terrible.
Or travel or rousing in the morning, you feel
a little bit of fog.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I mean, high levels of depression.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're not happy thoughts going through your mind, man.
Not
I mean,
at all.
It literally takes two bad nights to completely, you literally have thoughts about suicide on two bad nights of sleep. So that's how goddamn important it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, everyone talking about exercise and you got to do this and that and the other. I've gone a week without exercise. I don't feel, you know, it's like I'm fine. I feel it's not a big deal. Like I would say this. Here's a good example. If you're being intellectually honest, if I got you after 3 days of non-exercise or all the other things, you know, like you got to hug your kids, eye contact, you know, all that, eat your vegetables. If you caught me 3 days of no hugging, no eye contact, no exercise, and eating eating at the goddamn Golden Corral for 3 days in a row, and you just said to me, what was the last 3 days like? You washed my brain of all of this. Did you exercise? Did you eat junk? Did you hug your kids? Did you thank your Lord? And you asked me, how do you feel right now? I'd go, I couldn't definitively tell you. But if you gave me three bad nights sleep,
done.
I would be a fucking mess.
You're
like
wrecked.
If you said, how do you feel? I'd be like, who's talking? I'll kill you. I'll kill myself, then I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so we talk about all the diet all the time, all the exercise all the time, all the meditation, the spirituality, all the things. We go, oh, this is super, super important. And then we go, when we're done with all that, maybe we'll carve out 10 minutes to talk about sleep.
Right.
But do my 3-day challenge. It would be, I would have no idea if I ate junk food or if I ate red meat or ate vegetables or whatever I ate, deep fried food. I would not know. And I wouldn't know from the exercise, but I would know from the sleep.
Yeah. So here's an interesting statistic that I think falls in line with exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So you can make it for about 4 days, maybe five without water. You can make it for about 25 without food. You can only make it for about 10 without sleep. And by the seventh, you're hallucinating. Mm. So it's like it just gets worse and worse and worse. And when we're talking on the medical side of things, it's fascinating. There's new data now that shows that cancer cells multiply faster the more sleep deprived you are. Cancer.
Good night.
I knew
right?
it.
Like, drop the mic. We're done here. What's also equally as interesting in the cancer literature is now we're discovering that if you deliver chemotherapy at certain times in the 24-hour cycle, we need less chemo and it's more effective.
Oh, shit.
Like, how cool is that?
That's the best time.
Right?
What did Brian get?
It depends for a friend.
It depends on if you're a lion, a bear, a wolf, or a dolphin, because those are your circadian rhythms. So,
let's say bear.
Let's say, for example.
Well, Brian's on chemo.
So, you are?
I was.
So, what time were you getting your chemo?
I was on Temodar, and it was nighttime before bed.
Right. So, that, and how was your sleep?
That was, okay. Right. I don't remember specifically. I couldn't tell you definitively horrible or great, but this was also in 2009.
So what I would do is I would take a look. So if you're a bear, I would start. It's complicated. Oh. So I can't like throw a number at you right here. But what I can tell you is that generally speaking, I probably would not have given you poison right before bed.
Oh. Mm.
Right. Because that's what chemo is. Sure. Chemo is poison.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
So you would want to have it in. And I would want to look at certain. Your hormone cycles are going to change based on where you are in within the chemotherapy regimen. Mm-hmm. And so the timing can change. I mean, like I said, it's complicated. But here's what's cool. Sloan Kettering and MD Anderson are now adopting these protocols, and they're working.
That's great.
So people are getting better faster.
Good. Those dudes have a podcast. Well, how could sleep not affect your health and everything else? Like something like cancer and cancer cells, although it sounds in a way fantastical or outrageous right. or something, it makes perfect sense if you just go back to the, how do you feel after 2 days of not sleeping?
Exactly.
You are,
cells in your
you
brain.
Are worthless.
Mm. Right. Totally.
Versus, I can go a day without eating and be perfectly fine.
Yep.
And all the other things they want you to do. But mm-hmm. sleep can't and no sidestepping, no substitute. Like, no, like, right. I'll slash some cold water on my face, have a cup of Joe, and I'll be right back where I was. You're a goddamn mess. And
you'll still have cancer.
It makes sense that it would affect everything. And if it's mm-hmm. long as it's going to affect everything outside your body, well, then why wouldn't it affect right? everything inside your body?
Didn't exactly. you say, or Dr. Drew said, or you said it on his behalf, that when they studied dementia patients from all walks of life, CEOs, whatever, everybody from every skill set, the one thing they had in common was bad sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Dr. Drew say
probably.
That?
Probably.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, you listened to him for so many years. I can understand.
Yeah. Oh, it's a survival test. I would imagine dementia would be a big one.
I catch my Z's when he's talking, he's pontificating. Sorry.
I do now.
Yeah. Yes. Look, everybody, the thing about sleep is you need it. You might as well study it.
Right.
Can you put... For the love of Christ, could you put half the time you put into fantasy football?
Oh, my God.
Right. Nice.
Into thinking about educating yourself about just for one season, not multiple seasons.
Oh, no. Well, don't be crazy.
And also, by the way, there's good literature out there that people can read. You know, I mean, if you go to my website, and I'm not just saying my website, National Sleep Foundation has an amazing website. The Sleep Apnea Organization has an amazing website. I mean, there's resources for people if you want to learn. Here's the big problem that a lot of people don't realize is if you talk to the average physician who's out there, if you look in their medical school career, they've only had 4 hours across their entire medical school career to learn about sleep. 4 hours. It used to be 1 hour, and we got it up to four fairly recently. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you do a third of your life, in theory, you're in bed, right? Why aren't we studying this more? And you actually, Adam, you said something at the beginning of the show that I thought was really dead on, which was, this is a new field. Right. So the very first sleep clinic was in 1945 in Walla Walla, Washington. Right. Mm-hmm. Think about that compared to Hippocrates. Right. I mean, we're at the very early stages of where sleep is as a discipline. And it's super exciting to see what's going to happen. I mean, I'm learning new stuff literally every month. I could come back here 3 months from now. We could have a completely different show about all kinds of new, really interesting information because that's how fast the science is moving.
Well, let's do it. And
everything I said was BS.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the research is coming out that's really cool.
And considering we seem to carve out time to talk about everything over and over, carve out a few minutes to educate yourself and do it on behalf of your kids and your family. Mm-hmm. You can go to the website, thesleepdoctor.com, and check out all that Michael knows. Thank you, Michael Bruce.
Yeah.
And honestly, come back in 3 months and we'll talk Hot Wheels and REM. We'll take a quick break, come back to the news right after this.